Welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the late pick five from Del Mar on Saturday, July 25th, plus the Alfred G. Vanderbilt from Saratoga. This is show number 74, July 24th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you?
Doing great. Just ready for some summer stakes action from Del Mar and Saratoga.
This will be our first commentary on Del Mar, and I'm looking forward to it. I love the track. I love going there. It's good to be doing some races from there. We also have a special guest. He's qualified for the NHC three times. He's a regular winner on horse tourneys. He's always a danger at Monmouth contests. He's Eddie Wright. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. I'm usually frenetically handicapping going into the pod because, you know, we want to do as good of a job as possible. But now I'm kind of excited. I'm looking forward to that Del Mar pick five.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Now, I just want to explain, because this is something that happens at horse racing contests, the in-person type, and that's how you and I met. Do you remember how we met?
Oh, I'm trying to think exactly where we met. I don't recall. It may have been in Monmouth.
Eddie, you don't recall the time we met?
the time we met.
No. It was, in fact, at Monmouth. It was years ago, and you introduced yourself to me, and we've always said hello ever since. But it wasn't until the Horse Player World Series in 2018 that I spent any significant time with you. I didn't have any of my usual seatmates and needed a table to sit at, and you kindly offered a spot at your table, and we had a great time. And if I recall correctly, it was you, me, Daryl Mays, George Bosch, Jack Marola, and Larry Latour.
That was the group.
That was the group. And I have a picture to prove it, and I'm going to post it on Twitter when I release this tweet. And the great thing about that table is that Jack finished ninth, I finished 12th, Daryl finished 15th. And the next year at our table, I remember on the last day, you hit a 21-1 in the Gulfstream's first race. And Eric Kurzall, who sat with us, finished, I think, third?
Yes.
So it's a nice lucky table, and it's too bad I wasn't able to make it this year. How did you do this year? Did they even have it? No, they didn't even have it, did they?
No. I had double qualified. I was ready to go, but they canceled.
Yeah, well, COVID life. I did have one question for you before I let Chris offer any questions he might have. And the question is, what do you use for your handicapping? Like, what's your strategy and your tool set?
Well, I'm probably the most no-frills handicapper you'll meet. You know, I use BristNet PPs. That's it. I don't use any programs. I've looked at the BristNet daily selections, and that's about it. You know, just kind of old school. Started with a racing form, and now I'm strictly BristNet.
And what's your, what do you like about BristNet? Like, what do you use? Do you use like the pace figures? I'm just thinking of like what they have that DRF might not have as much. I mean, DRF has pace figures too, but they're different type.
You know, it's you know, the pace thing is yes. You know, some information that I can get, you know, from PrisNet quickly, like horses coming off a short layoff, you know, horses that have been away longer, you know, I started out on the daily racing form, you know, but I've grown so used to PrisNet, you know, that that's my go-to, you know, although, you know, I love in Formulator where you can, you know, isolate turf races, you know, if you're looking at a horse's history, you know, but, you know, and just some things in PrisNet that I haven't probably really delved into yet, you know, but PrisNet is my mainstay.
All right. Chris, did you have any questions for Eddie before we get started on our six races today?
Well, I'm just curious, are there certain tracks that you focus on? Do you sort of spot play all around the country, or, you know, what are the tracks that you normally play?
You know, well, my first love is, or my main love now is turf racing, you know, so, you know, if I'm going to the track or if I'm playing live, you know, I just focus on turf races at the major tracks. You know, I don't, being from New York, you know, Belmont, Saratoga, Aqueduct, my main tracks, you know, I'm very close to Aqueduct and Belmont. I've only been to Saratoga a few times, you know, but turf racing, regardless to the track, sprints being second, you know, are where I make my money.
That was proven when we were at the Horse Player World Series and there was a 12-horse turf field, first race at Gulfstream. Most people weren't even in the room yet. And I didn't know, I picked the wrong 20-1, but you nailed it, 21-1.
Yeah, I got up real early for that race because we were 3-hour time difference. You know, I was like, I love the horse. I said, you know, I'm getting up, you know, I'm going downstairs. And you're right, the room was basically empty, you know, it was a good start. I wish it was a better finish.
Chris, did you, I interrupted you.
No, we have some turf races to talk about today, so that should work well. And I like the turf racing as well, so should be fun. Let's get started.
All right. Well, our first race is the 10th at Saratoga. It's the Alfred G. Vanderbilt Handicap, a grade one, 6 furlongs on the dirt. Purse of $250,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Eddie, as our guest, would you be so kind as to go first?
Okay. Well, the last time I spent this much time handicapping a 5-horse field was probably during the early stages of the pandemic when Will Rogers Downs was the hot track. Volatile, you know, has run a few impressive races, you know, but he's in the big leagues tomorrow. And I'm thinking Corrente Fire will keep him busy early enough and possibly set it up for the old pro Whitmore. You know, Whitmore won his only Saratoga race in the 7 furlongs Fargo Stakes. He's run 21 times at 6 furlongs. And the only time he was off the board was in the 2018 Breeders' Cup Sprint. He scratched from a race on closing day at Keeneland to target this race. I believe Whitmore, with a well-timed ride by leading rider Joel Rosario, can get the job done tomorrow. I won't leave out Volatile from my bets, you know, but Whitmore is my pick.
He's a great old warrior, and I think he's coming off 2 wins. Chris, what did you think in this race?
Well, I thought this race is pretty interesting for a 5-horse race. I mean, if you were just going to say they all will run back to their best race ever, who will win? And Volatile will be the winner. But one thing that I've learned over the years is that for the top class horses, the sprinters really can, every once in a while, these top sprinters, if they freak, it's not a good thing for their next few races. I mean, I know we've talked a little bit about horses regressing off big efforts. It's pretty controversial. Some people say it just doesn't happen. It's all a function of, you know, how the race sets up that affects performance. But these elite sprinters, when they really freak, it's really hard for them to run back to another good race next time out. And Volatile really freaked his last race. I mean, he was very fast. Seldom do you see horses run that fast, you know, a few times a year. And it typically is, you know, a sprinter. And when they do, they almost always regress off those efforts. I mean, last year we saw two similar kinds of efforts by Imperial Hint and Chancelot at Saratoga. And both of them regressed significantly the next time they ran. It wasn't unexpected because it's just really hard to reproduce those. And sometimes they never get back to them. Like Imperial Hint never really was right after that. He never really ran back to that. But typically they just need some time off and they can come back and run good again. So I'm really against Volatile. He could run well again. He is young, but you know, now he's in tougher competition and he's coming off that big effort. And even Firenze Fire, who can run fast races, if he's not quite in the same league, his last race wasn't freaky fast, but when he's run as fast as he did last time, he almost always goes back as well. So those two, you know, two of the favorites, I think, are going to run, you know, subpar efforts. Even Lexingtonian's kind of in that same park, although he's a long shot. So that only leaves two horses, Whitmore and Mind Control, who I think, you know, aren't in kind of regress mode. And Whitmore's solid. He might have lost a step, but I think he'll run his race. But he's not the one I like in here. I really like Mind Control. I think he just can toss that race in the slop. He's run really good races almost every time he goes out. He's had time off since his big effort back in March. And I just think he's sitting on a big race. I wish it was a little bit longer and there was a little bit more pace, but I think he'll stalk and pounce and he's the one to beat. And he might get overlooked because of his poor last effort. And because, you know, everyone thinks Volatile is the second coming of Mottoli. I actually think he may be more talented in that his last race is faster than anything Mottoli ever ran. But what was good about Mottoli is he would run good enough to win, but he never really freaked. So he didn't have that one big effort that sets him back. And he could continue pounding out good races last year. I think Volatile's last race might have been too fast. So I'm not big on this race, but I just think this is a great example of these elite sprinters and how it's so hard for them to reproduce these big efforts. And if Volatile can do it, I'll be impressed. So that's the way I see this one.
Well, I had a bunch to say about Mind Control, and you just said it all. So I'm totally on board with Mind Control, and I agree exactly on Volatile. You know, if he had won that race by two lengths, that would be better, but he won by eight lengths, and you know it was an amazing race and an incredible turn of foot. But history has proven that the horses react to big races like that, and like you said, especially sprinters. Now, Mind Control, the only thing I'll add is that he is 2 for 2 at the distance. He's 2 for 2 at Saratoga, and if you watch his race on March 7th, he stumbled at the start. He was last. And well, he wasn't last, but he was, you know, pretty far back. He was at the half. He was fourth by 7 lengths, and he's usually pretty close to the pace. He closed in under 24 seconds, and I mean, he looked phenomenal. And he galloped out like a monster, way ahead, like 7 lengths ahead. And you know, I was against him in his last race because he had run that giant race, and he didn't run well. And Part of the reason was he was due for an off effort, but also the slop, and he had never actually run in the slop. He'd been like on a good track before, so great excuse. And he's 6 to 1. I'm all over him. I'm if he's really 6 to 1, I'm going to bet him. And I also like Whitmore. You know, Whitmore is good, but I agree, same analysis. He's probably lost a step. He's just not quite as fast, but he's super game, and he could pull it out too. So that's where I stand.
Anything you want to add, Eddie?
No. Mind control, I also looked at, but I am just kind of stuck on Whitmore. I think that he's been brought along good by Marquette, and I don't think you see him a lot at Saratoga, I think he's really important for this one.
All right. Well, we've spoken enough about this race. We have the pick five. I'm just saying what you were about to say, right, Chris?
Yeah.
just making sure. All right. So we're going to go to Del Mar now. We were going to do the pick four, but I looked it up and Del Mar has a 23.68% takeout on the pick four. But the pick five is not only 15%, it's actually 14%. So, so what the heck? Now, we did cover the seventh race at the last minute. So we're maybe not as in depth as we normally would be. But we'll go ahead and mention a few horses. It is a maiden special weight, 5 furlongs on the turf, purse of 50,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Chris, why don't you get us started this one?
Well, I was a little nervous when you said, can we add this in? Because I didn't really have time to look at the race, but a horse really jumped off the page in this race. So it wasn't that tough for me to come up with a play. And I really liked the 6-horse Highly Distorted. He's a 5-year-old, but he's lightly raced. He had 3 races as a 3-year-old. His first 2 were on dirt and they were okay, but then he ran on turf down the hill and they put blinkers on him and he popped a really big race and then something went wrong and he was off for 2 years and he came back in a new barn, Mike Pipey, and he, off a 2-year layoff, you would expect that he, may not fire right off the bench, but he ran a pretty decent race, I thought. And now he goes 2nd off the layoff after that long layoff. And he cuts back a little bit in distance. He's a speed horse. He was gelded, supposedly, since his last start. And he's been working well. I just think he's going to run a giant race in here. That race is a 3-year-old. If he just runs back to that, he will win this race. And as a 5-year-old now, he's a fully mature horse. He could run much faster. So I think he could potentially blow this field away. And he's actually 15-1 on the morning line. He was 6-1 or 8-1 last time. So I don't know if you'll get 15-1 here, but I would expect a big effort. And I like that horse quite a bit. And I might even just single him in the pick five and roll the dice. But there are a lot of other horses that we can talk about, and I'll let the rest of you chime in, and then I might come back with a few other opinions if you don't touch on the other horses I'm thinking about.
Well, I like Highly Distorted as well. What did you think in this race, Eddie?
As much as I love turf racing, I only bet lightly racing maidens on the turf when they're mandatory races in a contest or part of a multi-race bet that I'm considering, and this would be the latter. Since Del Mar hasn't raced for a week due to numerous coronavirus positives amongst the jockey colony, I don't know if there's any particular bias towards speed. Regardless, I think there's enough to possibly set it up for the 9, Much More Halo, or the 3, Absolute Unit. There are also 3 first-time starters in the race, with both the 2 and 11 working well in the morning. But the 10 is the first that grabbed my attention, not because of the workouts, but because Flavion Pratt rode Absolute Unit in 4 of 7 starts, but jumps on the first of 4, Keith DeSormo. jockeys and their agents really do a great job of selecting the right horses to ride. And I think it could be detrimental, you know, to discount that in most cases. So I'm favoring much more Halo, but using the the three and the
just go ten. By the you just go by the names.
Yeah, the three and the ten in my wages.
That's Absolute Unit and Colossal Storm. Well, it is it's a nutty race. I agree with Chris on Highly Distorted, an absolute must use, although I'm not going to put him on top because I have a different horse that I'm interested in, but I will definitely be going at least two deep in the pick five and maybe four deep. And the horse I like is the 255 Chevy. He's been running gangbuster workouts for a trainer who won three maiden races at Del Mar last year. Not just three maidens. They're first time starters. And the dam was four for my cat just walked on my keyboard, so now I'm missing some of my stats. the dam was four for something on turf, and at least had four wins. And one sibling was five for seven on the turf. So. Now, the one negative about this workout pattern of 55 Chevy is that there are a lot of gateworks, but maybe they just want to make sure that he gets out of the gate. And, you know, I looked at his previous winners. He had an 8-1 winner, and he had another one that was maybe like 3-1, but they also showed these really fast gateworks. So this horse is going to be well meant, and I think you can't play this pick five without including 55 Chevy. I will also include Highly Distorted, and I don't know between you know now that Chris has made such a compelling case with Highly Distorted, which I agree with. Maybe I won't use the other two horses that I was interested in. One is Tilted Towers, where the trainer is really good off the layoff on turf, 18%. With a 196 ROI. And I agree, Eddie, I like Colossal Storm. He has a 48-1 gatework, and any horse that has a four furlong gatework in under 49 seconds, I always include in any pick end. So I'm definitely including that horse. And I also like to look up the stat, like how is the trainer with first time starters in turf sprints? And this trainer, Keith DeSormo, is 1-5. With a 9-5 at Del Mar in a 5-furlong turf sprint. So, and you're adding fuel to the fire, noticing that Flavian Pratt is on board.
Yeah, yeah, just to add. Keep an eye on where the jockeys bounce. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, that's just on that point that you make. With Flavian Pratt, the Sormo and first time starters is 3-7 and 5-7 in the money. So when they do join up in these first time as with a first timer, it's live. So I think you're onto something there. I had a feeling Scott would like the two based on that gate work that the horse had. I didn't really have time to look at the trainer stats on that one, but you know, first timers are always dangerous. So one thing I will say, this is 5 furlongs on the turf. That's always biased towards speed. Maiden races are almost always biased towards speed. So I would be a little bit reluctant to play horses like the 9, Much More Halo, who's cutting back and probably won't be that close to the lead in here. I'm not saying the horse won't run well and maybe hit the board, but it's hard to come from off the pace in a 5-furlong turf race, especially in a maiden race, especially from the outside. So I kind of like, you know, speed. And that's why the other horse that Scott mentioned that I like is the 8 Tilted Towers, who was blazing early and got tired in his first start back but that was like 2 years ago. So, you know, the negative is that horse hasn't run in 2 years. Can D'Amato get it ready off that long a layoff? That's a question. But the horse has a lot of speed. And so, you know, that's always dangerous in these turf races.
It's actually so, 1 year. I mean, but 1 year for Tulsa Towers.
Yeah. Okay, a year and a half. We'll split the difference.
13 right? months. 14 months.
All right.
Just under 14 months.
14 months. Okay. All right.
It's not as dire as 2 years, but I'll also note about Tilted Towers that he is notably faster workouts coming into this race. So yes. I would go ahead and make that a must include. Colossal Storm, a must include. All four of them are must includes because it's a maiden race. Anything can happen. And this is where the value could come out.
And Tilted Towers is also making his first turf start, and he does have some turf breeding. So there's a lot of positives in there. He could pop. The other thing about Highly Distorted is when they put the blinkers on him first time, he really, really broke really sharp in that turf race, his first turf race. So, you know, that break is really important. So in this race, and the way he popped the gate might make the difference for him. So, this is an interesting race. I think you could catch a price, you know, that like the Baffert horse that comes from out of it a little bit, I think can get beat. And then the favorite, I think, Mandel is pretty good with first time starters. So I think that horse ran, is probably not going to improve that much off his first start. So, you know, he'll take a lot of money, and there's a lot of other speed in here. He may not get the lead. So, you know, I think this is one where you definitely could catch a price.
We'll move to the eighth race at Del Mar. It's a 7 furlong claiming race, purse is $37,000 for 3-year-olds. And Eddie, where did you land here?
Okay, so this is an interesting race. The morning line favorite is a $9 horse, which makes it wide open, in my opinion. 6 and 7 furlong sprints were my weapons of choice when I first started betting horses, actually 36 years ago yesterday. This race has its challenges. I think there's sufficient speed among the 2, 5, and 7 to set it up for a horse coming from off the pace.
If you can, Eddie, just use horse names because you know, sometimes people are driving when they listen to this and they can't look at the numbers.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I gotcha. You know, so I narrowed my choices down to Hidden Promise and Zimba Warrior. I'm making Zimba Warrior at 6-1 my top choice because of his outside post position today. 9 of his lifetime starts were from inside post position 6. And I really prefer horses coming from off the pace on the outside, you know, so they, you know, not choke back early or push too early to get a position. If my concern with the 3 is the inside post position, that's a Hidden Promise, you know, because 2 things could impact his ability to make a late run. If Pratt used him too early to not lose a lot of ground in the first quarter, he might expend energy in the beginning of the race that he'll need later. Or what is most likely, with the speed horses looking to come over and secure a position close to the rail, he might get shuffled too far back and forced to launch a winning bid from further back than the jockey would prefer. I'll use both in my wagers because Hidden Promise will be motoring late, but I'm definitely going with Zimba Warrior on top.
All right, Zimba Warrior and Hidden Promise both uses for me. Chris, what did you think?
Yeah, I think that both those two figure. I like Zimba Warrior a little better. I think he's got, to me, Hidden Promise is kind of a tweener. kind of mid-pack, whereas I think Zimba Warrior really is a genuine closer and drew that outside post. And so if they do get tired late, you know, that seems like the horse that will roll past them all. Although I don't think there's that much pace in here. I'd be surprised if one of the forwardly placed horses don't win. And there's two that I like quite a bit that'll be, you know, not necessarily on the lead, but close. And those two horses are the 4 Octopus and the 9 Dripping Sauce. Between those two, I prefer the 9 Dripping Sauce, who kind of has this classic pattern that I always like. He popped a big race back in August as a 2-year-old. That set him back. He had time off. He comes right back and he runs just the ideal number off the bench for a good trainer in Jonathan Wong. Now he goes second off a layoff, drew an outside post for all the things that Eddie nicely described. You know, outside posts I like with a horse with tactical speed and 7 furlongs because there's a long run to that first turn. And with a good jockey like Sadio, he can just break and just pick his spot. And I expect to see a really big effort out of that horse. If you can get that 6-1, that's a gift, I think, on that horse. Octopus is similar, just he's not quite as fast or explosive, but the same sort of thing. He ran a good race as a 2-year-old. He came back with the kind of race you'd like to see. The difference with him is he got claimed and he's getting wheeled back kind of quickly, but the trainer does really well, and he does well when he claims and wheels him back at Del Mar. That's kind of one of his things he likes to do. The Del Mar meet, a lot of owners, trainers like to win races, so sometimes you'll see them like claim a horse early in the meet because they want to win a race, and they run him back and try to get 1 or 2 races out of him. So I think Octopus is really live too. Not quite as good as Dripping Sauce, but I think those are the two horses to play in this race, the 9 Dripping Sauce and the 4 Octopus.
Well, we're on the same horses again, Chris and Eddie. I like the two that you have, Eddie, and I also like the two that you have, Chris. I made, reluctantly, I'm not going to bet to win, but I made reluctantly the 4 Octopus as my top pick, mainly because he also had trouble in that last race. And I haven't seen the replay. So that's on my list of things to do, is to see like what kind of trouble he had. But based on the comment line, squeezed early and steadied on the turn and still won at 5.5 furlongs. And this horse, he's bred for the distance. His mother, Georgia, she was better routing. I didn't look at the number, just looking at her historical figures, they were significantly faster routing. And Shackleford, you know, on top, it's all good. So that's the horse that I picked on first on top. But I also like Dripping Sauce. I like Zimba Warrior. And I like Hidden Promise. I'm just going to use all 4 of them.
Yeah, Octopus, I had looked at, you know, because anything that Umberto Rispoli rides grabs my attention. You know, I'll definitely throw him in, you know, but, the other two are my main picks.
Anything else on this one, Chris, before we go to the 9th?
No. I think you summed it up pretty well.
All right. The 9th is our first grade 2 of the day. It's the San Clemente, a 1 mile on the turf, purse of $150,000 for 3-year-old fillies. And I believe it's Chris's turn this time. Well, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I like this race a lot because the 3-horse Laura's Light, I think, is a really, really soft favorite. I think there's 3 or 4 other horses that are more likely to win. So right away, I'm really interested in this race. There are 2 horses I like quite a bit. The 6th horse, Cheermeister, is one I've touted on the pod and cashed on before. A horse will be on the lead. It could clear. That's always makes it dangerous. It does carry a little extra weight in here. But this trainer has shipped to California once for a stakes race on the turf, and the horse ran a really nice second. So he has shipped and done well before. So I think Cheermeister's live. 6-1 is not a great price, but it's not bad. But the horse I like, you know, as the value play in the pod pick would be the 8 horse Mind Out, who I always like horses who can win on debut. You know, as in August, it won its first start. It took money, had a little bit of trouble, and still won the race. And it's had a few races since then. It's never had a good trip. Now it goes third off a layoff after a race on the synth at Golden Gate. I think it could be sitting on a really big race here. And it's 15-1 on the morning line. And, you know, if you can get 15-1 on that horse in this race, that's a great deal. I am a little nervous about the post and rider. I know Scott's kind of a Brice Blanc fan. I'm not. He just doesn't ever give horses I play good rides. He's only 1-23 for this trainer. So that post and rider makes me a little nervous, but if he can work a trip on this horse I think could respond with a really big race at a big price. So I like Mind Out quite a bit. I also like Cheermeister on the front end. There's several others in a pretty wide open race where I think the favorite is really vulnerable.
Mind Out, dude. Eddie, what did you think?
Wow. Interesting race. I agree with Chris that Laura's Light is a sore favorite, you know, given that she's 3-1 morning line. You know, what made this race a challenge for me is that I want a horse coming from off the pace because, you know, Peter Miller has 2 horses in the race and Laura's Light, and she's so special. She's so special is coming out of 2 turf sprints. So I know she's sending. Laura's Light's going to be there. Cheermeister, possibly over-attracted. There's quite a few horses that can come from off the pace. After a lot of deliberation, I landed on the Irish filly, Crocovoke. You know, I believe she'll be the one closing the fastest when the racing starts. Umberto Rispoli rode her in her last 3 races and is back in the saddle today. I'll also toss in my bets in this order, Applecross, Little Bird, Warren Showtime, and Mind Out. You know, I believe a close is going to win the race, but I'm going to lean strongly with Crocovoke.
All right. Yeah, this is definitely a spread race. I landed again, Chris. I don't know if this is good or bad, but we landed on the same horse. you know, she Mind Out. There should be pace here. She just matched her 2-year-old best on synthetic. Her mother preferred turf. She ran fast at 2, and now she has a chance to break through. And I think we will get the 15-1 because there's going to be action on these other horses. My second choice is Eddie's horse, Crocovoke, who I had to watch the last race to be able to pronounce it. And I hope that's right. Crocovoke keeps on improving. She ran a solid 3rd to the favorite, Laura's Light, in her last. So she's going to be a much higher price. And she's working even better since that last race. And got a very nice comment from DRF Workout Report, which apparently came out kind of early. And it just looks like she's feeling good. And that's what the guy, DRF, Toby Terrell, said, that the horse is feeling good. She's working out fast. I will say that I believe Laura's Light is a must include. She's classy. She's consistent. Sparkling Workout Report on DRF, a B+. I wouldn't bet this race without her. So I can't go too deep because I'm a little deep in the first 2 legs. So I'm with Mind Out, Crocovoke, and Laura's Light in this one.
Yeah, Crocovoke, I agree with both of you that horse is live. The horse comes from so far back, going a mile.
I just have a hard time thinking that horse is going to get up and win. I wouldn't be surprised if it hits the board, but it just, it has no speed at all. So that's the only negative I had on that horse. Eddie did mention another horse that I like, the after eight Mind Out and six Cheermeister. I like 11 Apple Cross quite a bit. Both its U.S. starts, it had lots of trouble, lots of excuses. And now it comes in off a layoff. Baltus is good off the layoff. He's really good at Del Mar on these long layoffs, coming back on the in turf routes. They point towards these, and especially in stakes races. So I think you're going to see a big race out of Apple Cross, and it can improve quite a bit off those troubled trips in the U.S. The problem with that horse, that drew that 11 post, so Van Dyke will have to, to earn his money to work a trip from there. A better post, I might like it even more. And Eddie did make a good point with the Miller horse, that she's so special, is probably a rabbit in here that will compromise Cheermeister's chances. Although Cheermeister just kind of has one way of going anyway, so I don't know if it really matters. She's going to go fast, and we'll see if she can get the mile. She might not, but I think you don't ever want to leave out a speed horse that has shown that she can win stakes races on the front end in a race like this. So it's kind of interesting. Scott and I have been on very similar horses throughout the races we've talked about so far. Hopefully we're right. Those horses are carrying a lot of weight going into this pick five.
You know, what's interesting too is that, of the six horses that figure to be coming from off the pace, they've all taken turns beating each other, that makes this race more intriguing.
Interesting. I'm just looking up Richard Baltus. He's a scary trainer. I mean, he hits a lot. I did look up how he does with three-year-olds off a six-month or more layoff on the turf. And oddly, he's only 1-for-12. That was with a 6-to-1 at 6.5 furlongs. And then he had a second with a 12-to-1 at Del Mar. So, that I don't think you can really come to any conclusion based on that. I was definitely interested in the horse. So I would say I might just have to add that horse, because he's 2-for-6 at this meet and he's got a second. I mean, clearly he is pointed to this rate, to this meet. And I'll probably have to, at 8-to-1, I think you do have to add that horse, especially when there's probably going to be a pace meltdown.
Well, yeah, and it's 12-to-1 on the morning line, so you'll get a price.
Yeah, I can't play the pick five without including that horse now. I'm just, I'm layering it on. I've got four horses in the first three legs. Luckily, I have a single in the next one. The next one is the San Diego Handicap. It's a grade two, and it's a classic handicap with maximum security carrying 127. It's a mile and a 16th on dirt. Purse of $150,000 for three-year-olds and up. And where did you land here, Eddie?
Wow, this six-horse field that includes maximum security at even money, returning from a 4.5-month layoff in an ungraded stakes race, plus Combatant and Sharp Samurai are cross-entered on the turf in the Eddie Reed on Sunday, and both may opt for that race, which could make this a four-horse field. Although Maximum Security's last five works were excellent, he hasn't raced at a level this low since February of 2019. And this is his first time with Baffert since the debacle with Service. I'm not a big fan of layoffs, especially when a horse appears to be at the top of their game. And Maximum Security is coming back off two lengthy layoffs. This is not a race I normally play, and I won't advise people to leave Maximum Security off of their wages, and I'll reluctantly use him. I'm going with Higher Power, who comes out of five consecutive Grade One races with a win, two places, and two shows, despite having trouble at the start of two of those races. I think he's kept as good or better company than Maxim Security, and Pratt is back in the saddle. If Glatt opts for this race with Sharp Samurai, I'm definitely going to throw him in, because nine of his last 10 races were graded turf races where he didn't finish worse than fourth, which makes him more likely for the Eddie Reed. You know, seven of those races were at a mile, and he has a stalking style, you know, that could win a race like this, you know, but not being sure if those two are going to opt for the Eddie Reed, you know, I'm going to go with Higher Power, but I can't leave out Maxim Security.
All right. Using Max Security. It'll be interesting to see if you can construct a ticket that works with him in there. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I kind of agree with Eddie on Higher Power is the only one that could beat Maximum Security. He's a good horse, and I think he'll run a good race. You know, Maximum Security is the question. It's interesting. I just think with Baffert, he's going to be even better than he was with Service. I'll actually have more respect for Baffert as a training ability if Maximum Security duds out, but I don't think he will. I think he'll actually be better. And you know, I don't think he's ever will have been as fit as he had. You know, coming off the layoff doesn't concern me at all because he never has been trained hard before, and Baffert trains him hard. He's going to be fitter than he ever has been in his life for this race. Baffert's good off layoff. So, you know, I just think, you know, Max, plus he's got the tactical edge. I mean, it's probably like Eddie said, two of the horses are going to scratch, but there's only one other horse with speed, and that's a stablemate. So they're not going to duel each other into submission. And it's going to be hard to run him down late. So, you know, I think you just single Maximum Security, maybe toss in Higher Power as a saver. And if you're going to bet the race, you know, probably not a bettable race, but try to beat Midcourt, who seems to always get overbet in my mind. Some reason people think that horse is really good, and I just don't think he's that good. I think Higher Power is a much better horse. But, you know, it'd be real interesting to see what Maximum Security does, because he could run a jaw-dropper race in here, and then all of a sudden, you know, he becomes the horse to beat in all the big races going forward. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well, it's very interesting that Maximum Security is coming in SGF 1000 off. That's the potion, which I don't know all the details on the potion, but that's the potion that he was being fed and given, as well as many other adjacent service horses. Now, I noticed last year in the Cigar Mile, they had a camera on the paddock, and Maximum Security had kidney sweat. And I tweeted about it, like, hey, I wouldn't want to be alive, and, you know, I wouldn't want to be single to Maximum Security. And then somebody, I think it was Emily Gullickson, she tweeted back at me and said, yeah, but does he always have kidney sweat? And I did not know the answer to that. I didn't have anything riding on the race as it was anyway. But anyway, he looked really intense, so, you know, before that race, and he had the kidney sweat, and he still ran well and he won. But I wonder if that was the SGF 1000, right? I wonder if that's what was making him sweat like that. So I think he's got to prove it. And as a heavy favorite, carrying 127 against at least one very good older horse in Higher Power, I think either you have to not bet it or bet it, or, you know, if you are going to play the pick five and single him, yeah, there could still be value there. I will note that he has a great workout report on DRF. They love him. He's got like an A-, but I'm going to single Higher Power. And the reason why this is going to be worth it for me is because if I single higher power and I go 4x4x4x1x3, it's going to cost me $96. And that's $96 that if it comes in and maximum security is just doesn't come back like as a, the monster that he may be, then I could cash. And, you know, there's not going to be enough money. There's not going to be enough betting. There's not enough entrance to capitalize on higher power as a win bet. So think of the 96 as like a win bet. Now, he loves Del Mar. He is feeling good. And John Sadler said that they wanted to train into the Pacific Classic, but he couldn't help it. The horse was doing too good. So he's running in this race. If he runs just his best race, which I think he can, because he's had enough spacing since his last, then he's going to be tough to down, especially getting that extra 5 pounds. So even though he is pointed for the Pacific Classic, I think the horse is feeling too good. He's working out like his best before and after his last race. I just, you know, and I think just by the nature of maximum security is just going to be tremendously overbet. So higher power might be as much as 6-1. I mean, I'm not 6-1, like 3-1, but in the pick five, he might be higher than that. So that's what I'm doing. I'm sticking with higher power. And if maximum security runs better than he did last year, well, then he's gonna be really fun to watch this year.
That's probably not a bad way to bet it at all. The only thing I'll say, and I'll be cryptic about this, if you're naive, if you think Jason Service is the only trainer who was using sophisticated drugs that are undetectable. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Amen.
Hey. I did not make that statement, but I can understand why you may be inferring that. So yeah, maybe, you know, I don't want to comment any more on that, but you know, he's going to be highly in the spotlight. So if he's ever going to be SGF 1000 off, it's today.
Oh, definitely. It will be. But there's horses every day that probably are running on stuff that's not detectable and it's not SGF. That's just, I mean, that's it just the nature of the game we play. Yes, who knows what it is. Probably much more sophisticated than what Jason Service is using. There could be trainers out there, you know, with lots of money behind them that are, you'd be amazed at what people will do to win in a competitive sport. We see this all the time in other sports as well. So nothing would surprise me at all.
On that note, let's go to the final leg of the pick five. It's the 11th at Del Mar, an allowance optional claimer, a mile on the turf, purse of 51,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, this is kind of a tough race. I do think that the favorite in here is legitimate, even though it is a big field. The horse has, I think it's going to clear and get a lead, which is always dangerous. It has a good post.
Who's the favorite?
It's in good form. Oh, number two, Nice Ice. I'm sorry. The two horse, Nice Ice. The 7-2 favorite, not a heavy favorite. So it's not like it'll be going off at odds on, but it's in good form. It's faster than the other horses. It's got a good post and it should have a tactical edge. So I would definitely use that horse, but it won't be great value, but I think it's definitely the most likely winner. There's a lot of horses you could look at in here, but from a value standpoint, kind of a pod pick for me, I like the 11 horse Magnificent QT. I'm a little nervous about the post, but this horse, its turf races are all good. I think it's definitely plus turf. It's definitely bred for the turf. And it had a nice sprint prep. Now it goes second off a layoff. It stretches back out, goes back to the turf. And I just think it's sitting on a big race. I'm nervous about the post and the trip, but to me this horse is great value. And if you could get 20-1, which is what it is on the morning line, I doubt that it will go off at 20-1, but double digit odds seems likely. And to me that horse is as good a chance to win as anything else in the race other than the two horse Nice Ice. So those are probably the two main ones, but there's definitely a few other live long shots in here, but I'll let you guys weigh in. And if you don't touch on some of the others, I might come back with another horse or two.
All right, Eddie, you got anything for us in this race?
Okay, well, this is an interesting race to wrap up the pick four and pick five with possibly some value. If you're singling Maximum Security, you know, Field of 12 on the grass, the morning line favorite, 7-2 and second choice, 9-2, I think it's wide open. I'm going to close it out with a few picks led off by Good Things Come in Pink. She's raced 6 times on the turf at today's distance and finished 5 times in the trifecta. She has a rider change from Ruben Fuentes to Kenta Sormo, and she can stalk the pace from close up or rally from further behind. I'm also going to throw in Smiling Rose. She ran well in her 4 turf races, and Maldonado, who rode her to a second place finish 6 weeks ago, rides her again tomorrow. Warrior Moon, whose chances should improve with an outside post, although 12 is not ideal, in her last 2 starts, I mean, she started from the rail, you know, and, you know, that could have been a problem in those races. And the one, Oh Pretty Woman, finishes well, you know, but again, it's, you know, closing from the inside, you know, can be an issue, you know, if you get shuffled back too far and it puts you out of contention, you know. So going with good Things Come in Pink, Smiling Rose, and Warrior's Moon is my main 3 picks. But we'll toss in Oh Pretty Woman just in case.
Okay, well, now I've got some music going on in my head. I'm going to use 3 horses in this race, and 2 of them you 2 have already mentioned. The first horse, this will be my on top pick. There's always like one favorite that wins, and that'll be in this race for me. Nice Ice is 3rd off the layoff, training up a storm. Trainer has a lifetime 247 ROI. 3rd off the layoff, and her best races were 2 years ago, routing on the Del Mar turf. So, and with that inside post, yeah, you have to use her for sure. And I'll make her my top pick, and, you know, I won't be able to get excited about it on Twitter, but I'll be happy if she wins. My other 2 horses are Smiling Rose and Magnificent QT. Smiling Rose is also 3rd off a layoff. 1st off the claim for Ron Ellis, and he's a good trainer that has a $2 even lifetime turf ROI. The horse has upside as a 4-year-old, and yeah, anything can happen. And I just love the pet. I wouldn't care who the trainer is. If it's 3rd off a layoff as a 4-year-old and they just ran a little bit better than their 3-year-old best, I like them. So she's a little bit slower, but has the upside. And then Magnificent QT, this is you know, it's interesting. Whenever I see this, a horse coming off a layoff, 2nd time, going dirt to turf and sprint to route. I mean, those are 2 different things, right? But it's a pretty major move. I mean, some horses can do it, some trainers can do it, some can't. How does Doug O'Neill do with that move? Well, he's 2 for 10 with a 2-to-1 and a 15-to-1 winner. And he also has a 2nd at 23-to-1. So the horse is definitely live. He must include. The only worry is that outside post, you know, the 11 hole in a mile race is very tough.
So just to add on to what you just said about 11 Magnificent QT going sprint to route, turf to dirt. It's done that one other time in its career, and that was its career best effort. It was 3rd off a layoff that time, but and a different trainer. But clearly the horse is better routing and better on turf. And if it runs another career best in here, it definitely could win the race. It could run much better than it did now that it's a year older. And then the other horse I like, beyond the 11 Magnificent QT and the favorite Two Nice Ice, is the 6 Smiling Rose. For the things you said, but also with this owner, he does well as well. I mean, and they like to run at Del Mar. They've done it, claimed a few and done well. So I think the 6 Smiling Rose is definitely live. Those are the three. And then good things come in pink sort of fits. And you're right, with DeSormo, Vladimir Serin does well when he goes to DeSormo. DeSormo can ride the turf, and he can ride the Del Mar turf, which is a little bit different than most, than like the other California tracks. He's good at on the Del Mar turf when he tries, and so he's always dangerous. So I agree with you there. This is a race where you got to kind of spread. There's probably some other horses, but you know, you can't play them all. But you know, to me, if you were going to go four deep, then I would use definitely 11 Magnificent QT and 2 Nice Ice and 6 Smiling Rose, and probably the fourth horse would be the 5 Good Things Come in Pink.
You know, with if Good Things Come in Pink, Mon wins tomorrow. I'd love to be at the track with all of my Jamaican friends, because I think that would be a very exciting stretch run.
Good Things Come in Pink.
Yeah, man.
I don't really have, I think, much more to add. Let's just see. I was looking up stats on that. I'm pretty keen on the Formulator trainer pattern tool with owner. It can give you a little bit of insight. And I believe I looked it up with Smiling Rose, the trainer with the owner, they hit at like 25% with a nice ROI. And I don't think they've ever done it at Del Mar, but it shouldn't matter. It's a good sign. All right. Any other plays on, any more comments on this one, Chris?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well. Oh, wait, I do one last thing. If the 14A Ruby Bradley draws in, that's another horse I think is very live at a price. It's another Doug O'Neill horse at second start off of a claim by O'Neill. And that horse, you know, to me, it's first off the claim for O'Neill was its best race ever. And now they stretch it out to a route, and the horse has done well routing in the past. And this horse could run a big race, I think. So if the 14 were to draw in, even from that tough post, I think it's one you'd want to include in the pick 5.
Okay. Well, any other plays? I know we were rushing just to even get that 7th race in today. Any other plays on the card today, boys?
No. I don't know, the race I'd looked at, you know, was what race was that? The second race at Del Mar, another small field. You know, I didn't look at the morning line odds, but I like Vertical Threat. It's the Smiling Tiger Stakes, 6 furlongs.
Okay. Vertical Threat is Vertical Threat.
Yeah, it's Vertical Threat. Although it is 6-5. Favorite on the morning line, so
okay.
might want to think horizontal.
A threat to reduce your bankroll.
Oh god, horizontal vertical threat is a horizontal value. Gotcha.
Yeah,
you might want to look at the horizontals with that one. Vertical might not work out too well. No, I really didn't have much else. I think we covered quite a bit. I mean, we gave we had 6 races today we covered, so.
Yeah, pretty good. So that was great. I thought our talks were I thought our conversation was very good, and I'd like to thank our guest, Eddie Wright. Eddie, thanks for being part of it with us.
Oh, thank you. And I just wanted to add, you know, congrats to Chris for his second place finish in the Keeneland contest. You know, I had, you know, made, you know, a little early move, and I didn't see any end game, you know, so I just backed out with $3,000, and I'm going to buy into the Monmouth contest tomorrow if I don't qualify this afternoon.
Well, the deadline is noon today. So you better qualify this afternoon because it's 12:15 right now. But, you know, Brian probably cuts you some slack. I put in my entry. I had to wait until I saw the card. And I've qualified 3 out of the last 4 years at the Monmouth Pick Your Prize. There are just so many prizes that I looked at the card and I decided I kind of liked it. There's a few races I like. So I'm playing an entry. Chris, are you getting involved in the Pick Your Prize?
Yeah, I got an entry. I'm not sure I like the card. I haven't really handicapped it. I haven't had time, but I...
Oh, that's very good. That's very good, Chris. I'm glad you don't like the card.
But, yeah, I figure I've been pretty hot on these. I haven't had that many chances to play, but on these live bankroll contests like this, I are the only chances I've had, and I've been doing pretty well, so I figured I might as well go for it. There are some nice prizes. Definitely, if you want to qualify for the NHC and you haven't, I don't think there's a better contest than this one in terms of your opportunity in doing so. I mean, if you double your bankroll, there's a good chance you'll win an NHC spot. So,
yeah, pretty sweet. All right. Well, thank you, boys. And that will conclude show number 74 of the Sport of Kings pod. Have a great day betting Del Mar and Monmouth. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Idiot.